Podcasts are all the rage, in part because listeners can listen whenever they want, but also podcasters can say whatever they want. It's not broadcast, and that will work well for the two hosts of the new podcast, Dear Sugar Radio. It began as an advice column on the online site The Rumpus, written by Sugar, a woman with a troubled past. Turns out she was a he, writer Steve Almond, frequent here and now contributor and author. So then Dear Sugar was taken over by Cheryl Strayed, a real woman with a troubled past, including heroin use. Her memoir, Wild, is the basis for the new film starring Reese Witherspoon. Well, now Steve and Cheryl are doing the podcast Dear Sugar Radio together, produced by our mother station, WBUR. Here they discuss a woman who's wondering if she should stay with a man not her intellectual equal.
Maybe she's told him that she feels all this about him, but I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd be heading for the door and saying, listen, I'm going to find a relationship where I'm more esteemed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do think, you know, even though, you know, our first impulse is like, wait, she loves him and she's happy. They should be together. I agree with you. I think that you have to choose the partner you want to be with.
And now Cheryl Strayed joins us by Skype from Oregon. Steve Almond joins us in the studio. Steve, welcome. Cheryl, where do you find the time? Welcome to you as well.
Thanks.
You know, I like to just be on radio shows in my free time.
Yes, right. As you premiere a movie. And then this podcast. Steve, let's start with you. When you first conceived it, how did you want it to be? There are advice columns.
Right.
What did you want?
Well, I didn't get there, but the promised land for me was an advice column that was not about dispensing advice and feeling assurance, but actually heading just in the opposite direction towards doubt and shame, which I think are really the path to truth for people and really what people need when they're troubled in some way, troubled enough to write strangers.
Well, and you decided after a year, you weren't the guy to be
no,
the girl.
No, I was stinking it up, honestly. I mean, I was writing something that was trying to be clever rather than trying to be truthful. And Cheryl very eloquently and in the beautiful manner that she does, just started to write the column that I really had envisioned, smart to the truth, but also so radically empathic with
it. And Cheryl, why was it, as Steve said, that you had an empathy and an understanding of what some of the people were writing? Just a little bit about your background that you bring to the advice column.
I've had a number of experiences, some of them incredibly fortunate. I had such a deeply good mother who loved me well, but she died when she was 45. So, you know, I had the brightness of that love and the darkness of that profound loss. I had a father who isn't in my life and hasn't been since I was a kid, who was abusive. I've been married and divorced. I've lived a lot. I grew up in poverty. I knew the struggle of, you know, being poor in America. I also knew the victory of doing things like, you know, going off and getting an education. And I do think that I've drawn on that full range of experience in offering advice.
Yeah.
Part of what the podcast is about is, and this is actually true of literature, you just want to spend time in the presence of a wise, dangerous mind. And I love spending time with Cheryl, listening to her put her mind and heart to somebody's troubles. I love just also in the podcast form that there's a certain kind of intimacy that really people are hungering for, because people are really lonely and they mostly want to know that they're not alone with their crazy. And Cheryl and I are both crazy. And so it's important for us to be, I feel, for us to be in the same room and for that kind of intimacy or room tone almost to be welcoming the listener in, as opposed to the armature of even something that's on the printed page where it's abstracted, or a radio show where there's a format. Like, we just want to be in people's, like, we want them to feel like they're there with us, because they are.
I was going to say, too, is I think that so much of what both Steve and I do, you know, in our writing as Dear Sugar, but also in the other work we write, what I'm always most interested in is grappling right, to get at the truth, not asserting that I know what the truth is, but seeking it. I loved this idea of sitting in a room and trying to figure things out with somebody.
Well, what are some of the topics?
One that's coming out that's fascinating is a woman who's addicted to painkillers, high-functioning woman who's addicted to painkillers and is trying to grapple with that, even as her life on a very surface way is going great, whether to have a third child, struggling with the sins, you know, horrible, painful sins of a father who's, you know, chronically unfaithful and really undermine this young woman's faith in monogamy and her own ability to love. I mean, it's really, I think it's going to run the gamut.
Well, pick up on one of them. This is all letters that you get or emails, and you read a letter from a woman who is thinking about a third child. This hit a nerve for both of you. Cheryl, you have two children. Steve, you have three.
Yes, at latest count.
And I'll start with Steve. You're very frank about when your wife was pregnant for the third time, you were afraid.
Well, I was terrified. And this is the thing, is that what most people really want to know isn't to say, you know, here's our prescription, but to say, I too live in this doubt and this uncertainty, and there's no right answer. There's just the path you take and facing up to what it's going to mean. And for us, you know, Cheryl thought a lot about whether to have a third child, and she, her husband, discussed it. My wife and I, like with many things, we had unconscious urges, and we sort of tripped and fell into it.
And Cheryl, for you, if you talk to someone who's addicted to painkillers, I'm imagining you bring something personal to that.
Sure. I mean, I think that we always bring ourselves to any number of the questions.
Well, it's just fascinating because I remember in answering that question, I was, you know, prattling on in my manner. And I really, Cheryl just made this basic point. Hey, Steve, she's an addict. You know what addicts do. They lie. They lie to themselves and they lie to the people around them. And
well,
I realized.
You called the person seeking help from you a liar.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Well, because what she did is she made her case for all the reasons that she should actually keep on using this drug. I mean, in her letter, she made a really winning case.
Exactly, which
I
bought.
Which Steve was sort of like, well, maybe this is okay. I remember there's a scene that I had written that didn't end up in my memoir, Wild. I was writing about this time of my life where I had begun using heroin, and I never became a full-blown addict, but I was, you know, really using it in a way that was incredibly destructive. And I called Narcotics Anonymous. And when I called them, what I really truly believed in my own messed up little mind at that time is that the guy on the phone would tell me that I was right and that my friends were wrong.
Yes.
And that actually it was fine that I was using heroin, as I would say, recreationally. The guy was so gruff and he wouldn't even hardly let me finish my sentences. He just said, you can't use heroin. If you continue to use, you will become an addict and your life will be ruined. And I hung up the phone. I was so stung and angry and outraged. I thought he was wrong. And his words have just rung through my mind all of these years. Of course, he was right. I just didn't know how to hear it at that moment in my life.
Yeah.
So that's partly what's going to happen. We essentially say, well, here's what we think really is what you're saying, but you can't even see it in your own letter.
Yeah.
We already have the evidence. But for the most part, I think Cheryl would agree, people want permission to feel what they're feeling. They don't want an answer. They want permission, essentially, to feel what they're feeling and to know that they're in a process of struggle. And they're not alone in that. And there is, with enough mercy, there's an eventual path out of it. But it's no quick fix.
They also want to hear the truth from people who don't have a direct stake in what they do with that truth.
Right.
If Steve came to me and asked me advice about his marriage, for example, I would give him a different kind of advice than I would a stranger, because I know his wife and I know him and we have an ongoing relationship and there's a different dynamic at play.
Right.
And that's the beauty of asking a stranger for advice. There aren't personal consequences to what you might have to say about that person's situation.
Author Cheryl Strayed, her current book is Wild. You can see it on the big screen as a film. Steve Ammann, his book is Against Football, which hasn't gotten any reaction at all, this idea that we should give up American football. And now both hosts of the podcast, Dear Sugar Radio. Thank you both.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Well, Jeremy, I might write in, but I will be Susie from Boise.
Well, we should say, while we're talking podcasts, today is, of course, the last day of the wildly popular podcast Serial.
That's right.
And if you're looking for another podcast, you know Here and Now has a podcast too.
There's us.
We're right on iTunes.
Here and Now
is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.
I feel so sad.